This program is provided by lawyer Kyung Jin Kim.
Welcome to today's deep dive. I'm your host, and we're thrilled to have you here with us as we unpack something pretty fascinating today.
Absolutely. I am the resident expert here, and I have to say I'm really excited about the source material we're digging into.
Yeah, it's a great one. You know, usually when you and I look at a recipe, there's this, well, this comforting expectation of rigid mathematics, right?
Oh, for sure. It feels like chemistry.
Exactly. Like you take 2 cups of flour, 1 cup of sugar, bake at 350 degrees, and the cookbook practically signs a contract promising you a cake.
Right. It's a very straightforward input equals output transaction. And I mean, that makes us feel entirely in control of the kitchen.
We really crave that predictability, but the deep dive we are doing today completely shatters that illusion.
It really does. Because when you look at certain deeply rooted food ways, that neat little math equation just collapses.
Totally. You realize you're looking at a fundamentally different philosophy of cooking, one that relies on environment and intuition rather than, you know, a strict numerical formula.
And the source material we have today illustrates that perfectly. We aren't looking at a traditional recipe book or some glossy magazine spread.
No, we are looking at a culinary production brief, which is honestly so cool. It's an internal document.
Right. It's essentially a cheat sheet.
Yeah, a structural framework designed to explain a very specific Korean dish to a global audience. It breaks the food down into raw stats, expected cooking times, flavor profiles,
translation notes, all of it. The mission of this deep dive isn't just to learn what this food is.
Right.
We want to analyze these specific data points to understand what it teaches us about the underlying philosophy of Korean food.
It's basically like having a backstage pass at a restaurant. You get to look at the chef's clipboard before the fire is even turned on.
I love that analogy. Mm. And the dish sitting at the top of this clipboard is a Korean staple called daetang bap.
Before we even get into the mechanics of how it's prepared, the brief focuses heavily on linguistics.
Yeah, specifically how the dish is universally defined across different languages.
Right, so the Korean name is daetang bap, and the brief provides the romanized spelling, which is just daetang bap, all one word.
And what's fascinating here is what happens when they translate it for a global audience.
Oh, this part blew my mind.
The English translation is simply bamboo rice, and the Spanish translation is arroz on bamboo.
So across every language, it's just a rice dish completely defined by the bamboo.
Exactly. At its fundamental core, the dish is stripped down to its most basic category. There's no poetic metaphor.
Right. No untranslatable cultural idioms. It's aggressively literal. It's the food and the thing the food sits in.
Which is actually quite rare when you think about it. Usually the pot is just the vehicle holding the ingredients.
Yeah, I mean, you don't call a beef stew Dutch oven beef or a roast chicken glass pan chicken.
Exactly. When the vessel becomes the actual name of the dish, it implies a profound shift in how the cooking process works.
Okay, let's unpack this, because that means the vessel is an active ingredient, not just a passive container, right?
Precisely. The bamboo isn't just holding the rice. It is actively participating in the chemical reaction of the food.
So if the bamboo is the star of the show, it's kind of like cooking on a cedar plank or in a cast iron skillet, right?
That is a perfect comparison.
So the pot is basically part of the recipe. How does that change the way a home cook should view the dish?
Well, think about your cedar plank analogy. That wood imparts its own oils, a distinct smokiness right into the fish.
Right. The heat draws it out.
Exactly. And in the case of daetang bap, the bamboo acts as a localized microclimate.
A microclimate. I love that phrasing.
Because bamboo is a green, highly porous wood. It contains its own natural moisture and sap.
So when you introduce heat to that sealed bamboo joint, the internal moisture turns into steam.
Yes. It becomes a natural pressure cooker. And that steam is forcing the aromatic compounds of the bamboo directly into the rice grains.
Wow. So the cook is managing an environment rather than just throwing things in a pot?
Exactly. Western home cooking often emphasizes what you're putting into the pot. This brief is trying to teach an international cook to respect what they are cooking inside of.
It's asking you to collaborate with the vessel.
Perfectly said.
But, you know, when you hear about an active natural vessel, it sounds, well, it sounds incredibly sophisticated.
It does sound intimidating.
Right. If someone pitched traditional bamboo steamed rice to me, my immediate mental image involves like burying a log in hot coals or spending 2 days monitoring steam levels.
Which is what makes the next set of data in the brief so surprising.
Yeah. The expected difficulty is explicitly labeled as easy.
And the expected prep and cooking time. approximately 30 minutes.
Wait, really? Just 30 minutes? For an authentic bamboo rice dish?
30 minutes.
That is wild to me. It completely shatters the illusion that traditional or culturally specific foods always require hours of backbreaking labor.
What's fascinating here is that those markers, the easy rating and the 30-minute time, are crucial for an international audience.
How so? Like, is it just marketing?
It's a strategic bridge. The creators of this brief know that home cooks are easily intimidated by foreign processes.
Right. We tend to romanticize the difficulty of unfamiliar cuisines.
Exactly. By putting those specific numbers front and center, it connects traditional Korean cuisine to the modern weeknight cooking schedule.
It makes it accessible. It proves that the essence of the dish relies on the method, not on complex culinary gymnastics.
And because the bamboo handles the flavor development, the cook doesn't need to overcomplicate things.
You just introduce the rice, add the moisture, and the bamboo takes over.
Which brings us to another critical section of the production brief, the dietary profile.
Right. Since the dish is so accessible in terms of time, the next question is about flavor and dietary accessibility.
And the parameters provided here are highly specific.
Okay, let's run down the stats. The spiciness level is listed as mild.
Okay.
It's marked as vegetarian friendly. It contains zero pork, zero beef, zero chicken, and zero seafood.
Not a single animal protein.
Nope. And under allergies and dietary restrictions, it actually notes not specified, meaning it's generally a very neutral, safe baseline.
And that data directly challenges the most dominant global stereotypes surrounding Korean food.
Oh, absolutely. Because when you think of Korean cuisine globally, people prioritize two extremes.
Right. The first being that intense, fiery spice.
Yeah. Dishes heavy on gochujang or red chili flakes, bright red broths. Aggressive heat.
And the second extreme is the meat-heavy culture.
Korean BBQ, marbled beef, short ribs, pork belly sizzling on a grill.
Exactly. And while those are beloved components of the culture, they paint a really incomplete picture.
Here's where it gets really interesting. So if Korean BBQ is the loud electric guitar solo of the cuisine.
Oh, I like this.
Is Daetong Bap the acoustic version?
Yes. That is exactly what it is.
It's stripped down, it's mild, it's completely plant-based. It relies purely on the harmony of the rice and the bamboo.
And that mildness is a deliberate architectural choice.
What do you mean by architect?
Well, in a traditional Korean meal, the rice, the bap, acts as the stabilizing center.
Ah, okay.
The intense, spicy side dishes, the banchan, revolve around that center.
So if you added a heavy protein or a spicy sauce directly into the bamboo, you'd just drown out the subtle, earthy aromatics.
Exactly. The mild profile is necessary to let the bamboo shine. It represents the foundational, gentle side of Korean cuisine.
So understanding this pure, easy profile leads directly into the brief's final goal.
Right. How to actually help someone outside of Korea cook it without losing its essence.
And the brief explicitly notes the need to explain target flavors, target textures, common mistakes, and substitutions.
What's fascinating here is why they prioritize those specific things.
Yeah, why focus on mistakes and substitutions instead of just rigid rules?
Because when you're adapting a dish so deeply tied to a specific local material, like bamboo, rigid adherence to a recipe can lead to total failure.
Right, because natural materials fluctuate. The moisture content of short grain rice in Seoul is different from rice bought in Ohio.
Exactly. And the age of the bamboo changes how it reacts to heat. Older bamboo has less moisture than fresh green bamboo.
So if the brief just said cook for exactly 30 minutes, it's ignoring the physical reality of the ingredients.
And think about substitutions. If an international cook uses a ceramic pot instead of bamboo, the thermal dynamics change entirely.
Because ceramic doesn't release sap or moisture.
Right. And a bamboo steamer basket lets steam escape rather than creating that pressurized microclimate.
This makes me think of, well, driving. It's like telling someone to drive for exactly 5 miles versus telling them to drive until they see the big red barn.
I completely agree.
If their odometer is broken, the 5 mile instruction is useless. But if they know what the target destination looks like, the red barn, they can adjust until they find it.
That is a brilliant way to put it. Understanding the target texture, how the rice should feel, how the grains should cling together, is infinitely more important than having the exact right tools.
It teaches the listener that Korean food is adaptable. It's conceptually focused rather than just a strict list of rules.
And the brief insists on teaching common mistakes so the cook can diagnose their own environment.
Right. If the rice is too hard, you know you need to adjust the liquid rather than just blindly trusting a 30-minute timer.
Exactly.
I mean, think about how often you, the listener, ruin a new dish from a different culture because you don't know what the final texture is supposed to feel like.
It happens all the time.
You follow the instructions perfectly, but when you eat it, it's too dry or heavy, and you just assume you're a terrible cook.
But the frustration really stems from not knowing the destination. This brief empowers the home cook to use their own senses to make micro adjustments.
It transitions the cook from following an algorithm to actually engaging with the physical state of the food.
It really is a masterclass in culinary translation.
It really is. So just to recap our journey today, Daetang Bap is an easy 30-minute, mild, and highly inclusive vegetarian rice dish.
And it completely redefines the perception of Korean cooking for the global home chef.
It takes something intensely local and makes it universally understandable.
My final thought on this is that taking the time to understand the foundational elements of a dish, its texture, its vessel, its simplicity, is the true shortcut to mastering any global cuisine.
You stop being a robot following a manual and you start actually cooking.
Absolutely. It prevents you from feeling overwhelmed.
Which leaves you with a final, highly practical thought for your own kitchen.
Oh, I like where this is going.
If Daetang Bap is entirely defined by the bamboo it's cooked in, take a look at your own kitchen. Think about the tools you use every single week.
Like that seasoned cast iron skillet you never wash with soap.
Exactly. Or the warped baking sheet you refuse to throw away. Or your favorite Dutch oven.
Right.
How much of the flavor, the identity, and the history of the food you cook every single day is secretly being shaped by those favorite pots and pans without you even realizing it?
The environment you build in the kitchen is just as crucial as the ingredients you buy.
Keep exploring the logic behind the recipes and keep looking at the hidden mechanisms right in front of you. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
This program is provided by lawyer Kyung Jin Kim.